morning we continue with a series called Light Splits the Night, a series that we've been doing that tracks along with us the story towards Bethlehem, the story towards the advent of Jesus coming to us, a story that we proclaim together, a story that for us, maybe if you've been in church for a while, a story that you've heard many times over, a story of Christmas, and a story that maybe you know well. And maybe for others, it's a story that's still filled with some mystery and some awe, some wonder. So we do that this morning, reading a story that, if you know the Christmas story, is very familiar. The visit of the angels to the shepherds. But I want us to hear this with some fresh ears. So this morning, reading that story that comes from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I'm beginning at verse 8, where we read this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be a cause of great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace on those on whom his favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Maybe a passage we've heard many times over, right? If you're like me and somewhere during the holiday season you watch Charlie Brown Christmas in your house, this is that passage where Linus rolls out onto the stage and the lights go down and Linus recites that Christmas story from Luke 2, the visit of the angels to the shepherds. I don't want us to rush over that today. I want us to see that in ways that maybe help us identify a little bit of what's going on there. Because one of those phrases that we look over so quickly, a phrase that goes by so fast, they were terrified. The angels were frightened. We go over that one quickly because we've heard the story before, and we know how quickly their fear melts away into joy, and the angels bring that message of peace and hope for all mankind on earth. And we want to get to that. That's the good part of the story. But today I want us to pause. Pause for a moment and be there with those shepherds in that moment of terror, of wonder, of what's happening, dread at what's taking place before them. Let's put ourselves there for a few moments and see if we can figure out what it is that those shepherds are experiencing and how maybe some of that experience of some immediate reaction of fear, I'm scared, maybe is something that speaks to us today as well for Christmas time and what we encounter when we face God. So let's consider that. Consider what that looks like. This fear. It's an unusual scene in some ways. Shepherds out on a field watching their sheep. It's the middle of the night, and an angel of God appears, a messenger from heaven. Now, it wouldn't have been unusual for people in that day to believe in and know experience of angels, of messengers from God coming. What would have been unusual is for them to come to this place, a field outside of town where shepherds are watching their sheep, where they're just doing their job, where in that time and in that place, they're just taking care of business. These shepherds who are working the graveyard shift, third shift at night, average people. Shepherds in that time and in that day, what shepherds were the average people who did the normal jobs. And in some ways, I mean, it wasn't a profession that was particularly looked down upon. In fact, many places in Scripture, in the Psalms in particular, shepherds are sort of hoisted up and raised as sort of this ideal of God who is a shepherd for his people. So the profession of being a shepherd, although it was not distinguished in any way, it was just sort of average, mediocre. Shepherds, you could say, were just sort of the average Joe, the normal everyday people, the suburbanites who try to manage a mortgage and drive a pickup truck. It's the people who live next door to you. Ordinary, everyday, average. These were shepherds and what shepherds were. So it's an unusual scene that a messenger of God would come there to the normal, the ordinary, the everyday, and what that means. That is something that is a little bit out of place that I think would have taken these shepherds by surprise. By surprise that, what is a messenger of God doing here, in this place? You see, because when we think about God showing up with his message and with his power and with his announcements, we like to think of that in bigger ways, right? In these sort of supernatural ways, that we want God to show up with supernatural power in ways that are unmistakable, in ways that grab our attention. We want God to show up in ways that really grab hold and make people take notice. We don't always know and expect or want God to show up in all those little, ordinary, unexpected ways. See, but that's where God shows up in this story. You see, I think when we think about God showing up, that we think about God showing up in ways where his power is revealed for all to see. We think about God showing up in ways where it's unmistakable. See, I want God to show up in my world in ways where he shows that power and he shows that might. I want God to show up in my world in the big things, right? I want God to show up in ways where it's miraculous. I want God to show up in our world today where it's unmistakable and everybody knows it, everybody sees it, and it causes the most powerful and elite among our world leaders to bow their knee and to acknowledge that God reigns above all. That's how I want to see God show up. That's how I want the message of God to come across. But I don't necessarily look for the message of God to come in all these little ordinary ways, in all the small little ways of our life. So what do we do then? What do we do when Jesus comes in this ordinary way? A message of God where he comes to ordinary people at an ordinary time, doing an ordinary job in their ordinary way, just living their lives the way that they always think that they should. How do we react to that? How do we react when that happens? When we see Jesus show up that way in everyday, ordinary life? What does that look like for us? You see, I think at Christmas time, if you're like me, in my house, we sort of have these nativity scenes that sort of set up and display the Christmas story, right? A stable, and there's shepherds and wise men, and Mary and Joseph are there. And that comes before us in that way. And we sort of romanticize that, right? We have nativity scenes that are sort of ornate and look beautiful and bring that out for us in ways that remind us of that story and make it seem so lovely, so serene, so peaceful. We have the songs that sing about that, right? Silent night and a holy night. And we build it up into being something miraculous and special that way. And it is miraculous, but we gloss over and maybe lose a little bit of how plain and ordinary that is in that time and in that place. How ordinary this scene would have been, and the way that the angels came and told about it, and what that looks like. Ordinary. So maybe in that time, for shepherds who received that message, here's how you're going to find the baby, in a stable lying in a feed trough. For shepherds, animal caretakers, this was their world. This was every day for them. Oh yeah, I know all about that. That's my everyday, stables and feed troughs. There's nothing unusual about that. There's nothing that seems to be super significant and sort of out of place about that. That's what every day is for me. Maybe I should take my nativity scene that I have in my house and trade that in for something that is more symbolic of what I consider to be a normal way in our time and in our culture for childbirth to take place. I'll have a little scene of like a hospital delivery room in a bassinet, something like that. Because that's normal, that's ordinary. That is for us in our time that we live in, what we would expect as the ordinary, everyday way that people who live now experience childbirth. That's the message the shepherds received. It was so ordinary, so common. It fit right into their everyday world. Nothing really shocking or surprising about the way in which Jesus came into this world. Maybe the shocking part of it is that it was so ordinary. Wait a minute, I thought this was the Messiah. I thought this was the Savior of the world. I thought this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Shouldn't there be like some beautiful delivery place with midwives waiting upon and all of the fanfare that goes with it and trumpets and announcements? Shouldn't this be something where kings and rulers of the world are made aware of this? Why is it so ordinary? Why is it crashing into my everyday life? And the way that I just experience one day after the next. Maybe that's what causes some fear for the shepherds here. Why is this happening here? Why here? Why this place? Why in the ordinary every day? Why shouldn't this be something that's more special and more elite? Why is it coming to me? Why am I receiving this? But that's how it happens. That Jesus comes into the ordinary every day of life as it exists. So how do we react? How do we react when Jesus shows up that way? I want Jesus to show up for the big things, right? I want Jesus to show up and do things like, I want him to cure cancer. I want Jesus to end poverty around the world. I want Jesus to enforce world peace upon us. I want to see huge miracles. That's what I'm looking for. But what happens when I miss the ordinary, the everyday, the average, the mediocre? How does Jesus show up there? What does that look like in our world? You see, maybe it says something like this, that I want a Sunday Jesus. I want a Jesus where, you know what, it's a special day and I set it aside and I put on different clothes and I come to this special place then one day. That's where I see Jesus show up, the Sunday Jesus. And then I lose sight of the Monday through Saturday Jesus. I set this one day aside that's the special day. This is the day when I focus on God. This is the day where God is revealed. This is the way where God speaks something. And then I stop looking the next 6 days because the next 6 days are ordinary. It's average. It's my life. And I'm not looking for Jesus the same way there as I do on this day. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here today. But maybe our job here today is to get you ready for the next 6 days of where Jesus crashes into ordinary, everyday, mediocre, average, where he's a part of our world, part of our existence, a part of what we do. Now then, what turns that around for the shepherds? What takes the shepherds and turns their fear into joy? Right? Because they hear this message, but how quickly they respond in different ways. Maybe we need to think about what turns their fear into joy in a way that holds on to a little bit of both. That they experience some of the joy, but maybe they're kind of afraid at the same time. Right? They're holding on to both of these things. It's not that unusual to imagine. Maybe it's that same kind of a thrill that you get as you're in line for that roller coaster at Cedar Point and you're getting to the front of the line. It's kind of scary. I'm a little afraid about this, but I'm also pretty excited to get on and ride this ride, that those things can go together. Maybe the shepherds are in that moment, caught in that moment, where their fear is turning into joy and they're sort of hanging on to everything all at the same time. This anticipation, this wonder, this expectation, this excitement of the message they have, along with still a little bit of fear. I don't know exactly what's happening here, why this is taking place the way it is. Something about the angel's message turned them around to fill them with this anticipation, this excitement. It was 1 year ago, almost exactly a year ago now, to where my family, living in Denver at the time, was packing everything that we owned into boxes. Because we were going to move. We were going to leave the place that we had known for the last 8 years and come to a place where we hardly knew anybody to start something new. New school, new jobs, new routines. That's a change of everyday ordinary. Absolutely everything of our everyday ordinary was about to shift in new ways. And we were scared. It was frightening. What was it going to be like? What were we going to experience? Here we are, almost a year into that. And it's that shift, that transformation of seeing some of the joy that's infused within that. There are still some scary moments that go along with it. But when we think back on the last year, all of the new relationships and new friendships that have come into our life through then, all of the new experiences that have come our way in the last year that were never a part of our world the 8 years before that, all of the ways that our world has been filled with some anticipation, some excitement, some wonder of the adventure that's coming ahead, and all the ways that we still have to move forward within that. It's sort of this coming together and mishmash of some fear of something scary, but then experiencing along with that some confirmations of the joy, the excitement, the anticipation that goes along with that. I know some of you maybe know what that's like too. You've moved across from one place to another. That's not an everyday thing. It doesn't happen very often. But how do you take that kind of an experience, that kind of moment, and boil that down to whatever is your ordinary everyday? The things that you wake up to and do as a part of your routine. How does God crash into that? Where does God crash into that? In ways that take hold in every corner of my life. Maybe in some ways I'm not ready for that. We're not ready for that. All those little things that are a part of my day, all of those little pieces of ordinary that I've grown so accustomed to. Maybe I'm afraid of what will happen if God takes hold of that. I don't want to go maybe where some of those things may lead. Maybe I'm content with my relationships right where they are, even though I may see an opportunity where God is opening up new possibilities of new relationship, maybe a place to find where marginalized people are within our community and our society and to bring the love of Jesus to them. But maybe I'm content with my friends that I have now and the relationships that I have now and where I'm at now. Maybe I'm okay with that and I'd rather that God didn't invade that normal everyday part of my life. Maybe I'm okay with how I use my time and my free time. Sure, my family's a little busy. We have activities and the kids are all this and there. And sometimes it's a little crazy to maintain all that, but I think I'll manage that okay. I don't know that I necessarily want God to be crashing into that and taking hold of those corners of my life. That's an everyday normal that I would sometimes rather just let be alone and keep the way that it is. I'm not sure that I want God in there changing and mixing everything up in my everyday, in my ordinary. Sometimes we're a little afraid of what might happen if we really let Jesus into that. But that's what Jesus does. That's who Jesus is. That's the announcement that came to these shepherds. That the Jesus who came was a Jesus who came to the ordinary, the everyday, the average, the mediocre. People like me, people like you. That's who Jesus is. That's where Jesus comes. He didn't just come into this world. He came into our world, the world that we live in every day. Jesus is the Jesus that we come here on a Sunday to worship and to adore. But he's the Jesus who comes crashing into our Monday through Saturday and takes hold of those corners as well and shapes us. The angels receive this message, the angels give this message to the shepherds, and the shepherds receive this message of God's peace on earth, his shalom, flourishing, that God comes so that our world, our ordinary, everyday world, can flourish, can blossom because of Jesus, because of who he is, because he comes in and takes hold of every corner of our lives. That this is the message that Jesus brings. A message where he has come to us. Not just the special, not just the elite, not just the high and mighty, not just on Sunday, one day a week, but he has come to be a part of your world, your life, every single day, in all of those ordinary little things that you do. That is our Jesus, who comes to us, comes to our world, grabs hold of us, whoever we are, wherever we are, and invites us to be his children, to follow him, to make our lives lives that are redeemed by him, not just in the big ways, but in all those ordinary little ways as well, where he takes hold of you, grabs hold, never lets go, and says, "You are mine. I came here for you, and I'm not letting go." That's our Jesus. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you that in your word that you reveal yourself to be a God who comes to us in such normal, ordinary ways. Lord, we confess today, we confess that there are times when we haven't been looking in the normal and in the ordinary. We confess that there are times when we look for you in all the big ways, that we want to see you as our Sunday-only Jesus. But God, we pray today, open our eyes, open our souls, so that we may see you revealed. Revealed not just here in this place on this day, but may we see you as you come crashing into our world every day, as you collide with our ordinary, average, everyday activity. And Lord, change us. Turn our hearts. Take those ways where maybe we're afraid to follow, where we are hesitant and fearful, and turn them towards you, that we may be filled with wonder, anticipation, excitement, joy for who you are. Fill us with your joy. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.